Coming around the Word of God, with the Spirit of God leading us, praise God. Let's open in prayer as we look today at To Live is Christ, Part 3. Heavenly Father, we are people that have professed Christ in our life. And Lord, we ask that not only that this is a reality, but that we walk out our Christian walk in the right way. That we not be part-time Christians or Christians in word only, but we be believers in Christ, in truth and in deed, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've been looking at To Live is Christ. We're up to part 3. If you haven't listened to part 2, please get that one and listen to it. It is very important to understand about this whole area because there are so many people who claim to be Christians, and yet Christianity or their so-called faith in Christ is just like a tagged-on, added extra to their life. We see that's not the way we should be looking at it. We should to live is Christ. He is all our life. Look at Philippians 1. Philippians 1. We'll start from here, starting from verses 1 to 6, first of all. And God began something in us. When we were born again, He began a wonderful work in us. And we should not only acknowledge that, but also see that He is at work in us constantly in our lives. In other words, as we get further in our Christian lives, we shouldn't be weaker in faith. We shouldn't be getting worse. We shouldn't be getting further away from the Lord, but we should be increasing more and more. So we know that the Lord has begun something good in us. Starting from verse 1 of Philippians 1, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, we should be calling ourselves servants of Jesus Christ too, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So, the Lord has begun a good work in you, and He hasn't finished with us. And it won't be until we've stepped out of this body and go to heaven that He's finished, or we've finished our time or our mission on earth. You see, whilst we're here, we can do good things for the Lord, and He can do a work in us so that He can use us for His kingdom. And I believe that that's what God wants to do with His people, is to use His people for His kingdom so that there will be an increase in the family of God. Isn't that right? He wants others to come in, to believe on Christ, to be part of the family of God. That should be our desire. That should be the desire of this church. So He's begun a good work in you, and you should acknowledge that. God has begun a good work in me. Praise the Lord. And He'll perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He'll continue to perform that good work in me, perfecting us, keeping us as we press into Him, keeping us hot for Him. Praise God. We have to make the decisions, though, in our life, that we don't, look lovingly at the world, or we don't think wrongly about His word. Now, we've been talking about, the consistency of believing the Word of God as the truth and taking that as your basis in life, as your basis of thinking, for example. It's all too easy to think the way of the world because we're surrounded by so much unbelief. Look across to Philippians 1, verse 21. We'll read down to 26. Starting from verse 21. This is Paul speaking. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Of course, it'd be when he dies, why is it gain? Well, he goes into the presence of the Lord, goes to heaven when you die. But you know, to stay here in this sin-ridden, devil-filled world is not exactly comfortable, because we see all types of things against our Lord, don't we? But what we have to see is our life is Christ and to live is Christ. So, Lord, what do you want me to do? Should be the cry of our heart. What do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to say? Verse 22, but if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labour, yet what shall I choose? But what I shall choose, I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. So you can see, obviously, to depart from the body, your spirit departs, goes to be with Christ when you die. There's a clear statement there. Verse 24, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. So what's he thinking? What's Paul's thinking here? Is Paul thinking just about himself? No, not at all. He's thinking about what is best for the kingdom of God. What is best for the church? What is best to do the will of God? What does God want? And he's thinking about the saints at Philippi, and he's saying, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh, in other words, to stay here in this body, in this world, is more needful for you. Verse 25, and having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. So you can see he's interested in their furtherance and joy of faith. Their furtherance. No one should be stagnant in the Lord. No one should be not increasing in the Lord. As we walk, to live is Christ. And just like a plant that lives, grows and flourishes and flowers and so on, so we are compared, and you can read it in various scriptures such as in Psalm 1, we're compared to a tree planted by the rivers of water, aren't we? And a tree planted by the rivers of water is one that has nutrients and refreshing and green leaves and fruit and growth. Well, that's the way we should be too, because that's the desire of the Lord for us, for our furtherance and joy in the faith. Praise God. God wants to further us. You know, we did a lot of study in the scriptures about we should have all readiness of mind to receive the word of God. So when we come in, for example, we come into a service here, we should have a readiness of mind. What am I going to receive from the Lord today? Praise God. Readiness to receive the word of God. We won't turn to that, but that's in Acts 17. Have a look at Philippians 3. Go across Philippians 3, verse 7. How did Paul look at his life before he was a Christian compared to life after he was a Christian? Now remember, Paul, and there's a lot of evidence for this, Paul was a wealthy man. He was a man that was highly esteemed amongst the Pharisees. He was a great teacher and so on. He had a lot of people looking up to him and esteeming him, and he was well known. But how does he look upon his life now in Christ? Remember, we just read before, to me, to live is Christ. And that's the way we should be looking at it too. But notice what he says, starting from verse 7 of Philippians 3. But what things were gained to me, that's past tense, isn't it? But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Now this is important to grab hold of here. What things were gained, you count loss for Christ. Do you think that's the attitude of the world? Do you think people think, I want to go the way of Christ because he means everything? Not at all. Which means that people have to have a change in their heart, don't they? They have to believe that Jesus died for them and that they need a Saviour and they need to make Him as their Lord and Saviour. And that's why we preach the Gospel. That's why the Gospel has to be proclaimed, because the light of the glorious Gospel can change people, praise God. So they come out of darkness into light. So he counted loss what things were gain to him. Verse 8, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. So at what level does he count those past things? Well, certainly not as a very valuable thing, because dung, as you probably realise, is not very valuable, apart from fertilising things. But you can see that in his eyes, it's just dung to be thrown away, that I may win Christ. He said he suffered the loss of all things, but he count them, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. And so our thoughts, the centering of our faith, should always be upon the Lord Jesus Christ, because, and we'll read in a minute, he is the author and finisher of our faith. In other words, he is doing that work in us that he started. That work has been started, and what's our responsibility? Our responsibility is to be open to him, isn't it? Our responsibility is to bow the knee. The Bible says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Our responsibility is to give him first place. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So our responsibility is to press in, to go forward, to say, Lord, I bow the knee to you. To count those things that were gained to us, that might have been precious, as very, very low compared to the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Notice he calls Jesus his Lord, my Lord. It's a personal thing, isn't it? Verse 9, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. So what was he doing? What was Paul trusting in before he was a Christian? He was trusting in his own righteousness, which is of the law. He was trusting in, oh, I've done all these good things, I've done all these things to merit favour in the eyes of God. But in fact, it was like filthy rags. It was like everything of man and nothing of God. And so what did he need to have? He needed to have the righteousness of Christ, didn't he? Which comes about by faith, so that we can stand in right standing with the Lord. Verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. And notice it says that I may know him, not a head knowledge, but a heart knowledge, to know God in a greater way, know him through prayer, through fellowship, through his word, know God through meditation, through communicating with him, spending time with him. You can't do that by not putting priority on God and his ways, by not putting priority on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's impossible to do that without, if you want to know his power, the power of his resurrection, to keep you, to strengthen you, to make you go forward in joy, then you need to make a commitment every day. Verse 11, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. In other words, he follows after everything that is valuable to God, valuable to the Lord Jesus Christ. What is valuable to the Lord Jesus Christ? Think about it. What did Jesus say? I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He also said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. So what's important to Jesus? The church, people coming into the church, being saved, people increasing spiritually and growing, going further, the work of God in people's lives, that's important to him. What's important to him should be important to us. Verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Let's just pause there for a minute. Now, too many people, too many times people dwell on the things of the past when God wants them to look forward and say, what do you want me to do, Lord? You see, life is a vapor. It's a very short period of time. And not too long from now, we'll be in heaven rejoicing and this life will appear to be, you know, some people will be saying, what I should have done and what I didn't do. You know, even though I heard the word, I didn't respond as I should have. There'll be many people like that. But you know, the way to do it is, okay, we'll leave the past behind, and as it says there, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press, verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We press. That means you're applying pressure. I press toward. You put a bit of effort in your life. Okay? That means you say, Lord, you are the priority in my life. To live is Christ. To me, to live is Christ. And I'm going forward, not back. As we saw before, furtherance in people's lives. And that should be us. Verse 15, let us therefore as many as be perfect be thus minded, and if anything, in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. So we should all be the same mind about this. And what's that? That we live for Christ. Our whole life is living for the Lord Jesus Christ. Put him first in everything. Put him first in all things. Put him first in your family, in your work, in your everyday life, in your church, in what you say and what you do. Praise God. Verse 16, nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. And we know that if there is to be great work to be done, you cannot have, for example, a divided people. In this city, there's a great work to be done. And I pray that this church would do exactly as it says in verse 16, walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. So what are we doing? We're going forward in Christ. We're presenting Christ as the solution to sin, the curse, as the way of blessing, as the one who is the Saviour and that people need him, as the Lord, the Master, as the head of the body, as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You see, he is our everything. Jesus himself said, without me ye can do nothing. He is the vine, we are the branches. Very important for us to see these things and to keep them in our hearts and minds constantly, because then it puts everything in perspective. He is the King. He is the Master. We are the servants. And, you know, as we walk by faith, we're looking to him constantly. Have a look at Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. The scripture we should know. Now we saw that there was, we had to press toward the mark of the high calling of Christ Jesus. So we know that there is pressure we need to apply. Now, the devil will also try to apply pressure to you, but what's he trying to do? He's trying to keep you from doing the will of God. He's trying to keep you back, but we need to apply pressure as we go forward. Praise the Lord. Use the sword of the Spirit. Use it. Use it liberally. The word of God, the sword of the Spirit. Use it. Let it come out of your mouth. But you've got to put in your heart first. Use the name of Jesus. Get the devils out of your way. Use the name of Jesus in prayer. Praise God. Hebrews 12, starting from verse 1. We'll look at verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So there is a cloud of witnesses around us. You realize? There's the witnesses of the angels around us. I believe also to some extent those in heaven can see some of the activities of the righteous on earth. So there's a cloud of witnesses around us. And the Bible says, let us lay aside every weight. Think about if you're in a race. No doubt all of us have been in a race in the past, as children and so on. If you've got a weight, for example, a weight around your neck or a weight on your back, it's much harder to move forward, isn't it? It's much harder to run that race if you've got a weight around you. And that weight can be something as simple as fearing to step out, or worry, or thoughts that are clouding your mind, and so on. And the sin which doth so easily beset us. You see, the devil is called the tempter. What's he trying to do? He's trying to beset you. See, the word beset talks about trap and keep you in one place. He's trying to keep you in one place. He doesn't want you going forward. Like in a race, you're going forward, aren't you? And that's what the comparison here is. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. God has set the way before us, and we need to run with patience that race. Faith and patience inherits the promises. But you know, our responsibility is to lay aside the weights. You know, sometimes watching television can be a weight. Having things in the way can be a weight. Lay aside those weights. Get rid of that sin which doth so easily beset us. Sin will cause you to stumble, because sin is darkness. Sin is part of the curse, and in it is judgment. You don't want to be part of that, because it will keep you back. But notice it says in verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's doing a work in you. He's doing a work in you. And you have to acknowledge and say, thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank you that you are the author and finisher of my faith. And that's why I look unto you. You see, if you're looking unto Jesus as you're going in the race, you're not distracted by looking at other things, are you? You're not distracted by looking at the wrong things that can keep you off the path. You're not led the wrong way if you're looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He is our master. We're looking unto him. How do we look unto him? Well, we look at his word. We spend time with him. We make sure that we're not distracted by the worldly things. But we see, to me to live is Christ. And as Paul said, he counted those things of the world, the things of the past, like dung. He said, look, that's nothing to me, but Christ is everything. And we know that the scriptures talk about Jesus being the precious Lamb of God. He's precious to us. His blood is precious. He is the King of Kings. He is our Master. Praise the Lord. Let's have a look at Proverbs 16, verse 7. You know, our way in Christ is a way of faith because it's impossible to please God without faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. So we must be people that please the Lord. And as you walk in the ways of the Lord, good things come into your life. You're not going to miss out. Some people think, oh, if I do this, I'll miss out on that. No, that's the wrong way of thinking. You've got to think, if I go God's way, all good things come. All good things can be added to my life. If you look at Proverbs 16, verse 7, it says here, when a man's ways please the Lord, He maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. What does God want in your life? God wants peace, doesn't He? Perfect peace in your life. And if your ways please the Lord, and it has to be the ways of faith, because faith pleases God, and we walk by faith, we stand by faith, we live by faith. If your ways please the Lord, then even your enemies are made to be at peace with you. And you'll find that even the enemies will be doing good things for you even though they don't want to. And they won't be able to fight against you. So it's like nullifying the power of the enemy against you. But notice there's a condition attached to it, isn't there? When a man's ways please the Lord. You want to please the Lord? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, He has to be the centre of our lives. He has to be on the throne. He can't be an added extra. He can't be someone that's just, oh yes, he's a good one to have around, but you know, there's other things in my life I have to do. Well, you know, God has to be first. Yes, everything else will come and be subservient to that. But just remember, always put the Lord Jesus first. Have a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Start from verse 14. 2 Corinthians 5. We'll start from verse 14. Over and over we meet up with people who have the wrong idea about the Lord, the wrong idea about the Christian faith. We want to be people of the Scriptures, of the Word of God, because that is the way of truth. And the Spirit of truth, He's the one that leads us into all truth, praise the Lord. And we know that Jesus said that God's Word is truth. And so 2 Corinthians chapter 5, looking at verse 14, notice what it says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead." In other words, everyone outside of Christ was separated from God. That's what the word dead means, separated. Okay? Dead doesn't mean extinction. Dead means separated. They were separated from Christ by their sins and transgressions. You see, if you die physically, what happens? Your inner man separates from your outer man. That's what physical death is about. And your inner man will go either to heaven or to hell. If you have Christ as your Saviour, you go to heaven. Praise God. So all were dead. So Christ died for all, then we're all dead. And verse 15 says, "And that He died for all, that they which live," it's talking about living in Christ, "they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again." Who are we living for? Are we living for ourselves, or are we living unto Him which died for us and rose again? You see, we can't live for ourselves, because that's what everyone in the world is living for, themselves. You know, they're not living for God. If you don't have Christ, you're not living for God. You're living for yourself. You're living unto yourself. But the reality is that when we are alive in Christ, we're no longer living for ourselves. We're living unto Him which died for us and rose again. We have new life in Christ, don't we? We have that Christ that is in us, the vine life, as He is the vine, we are the branches. Verse 16 says, "Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we Him no more," which is talking about a spiritual relationship with Him. And verse 17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Well, praise the Lord. People have to become new creatures. They have to be, as the Bible talks about, there's the old man and there's the new man. The old inner man is the one that's fallen and dead in trespasses and sins, but there's the new inner man. But what's the condition? Verse 17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ," so you've got to be in Christ. You've got to be born again. You've got to be changed. "He is a new creature. Old things are passed away." So we shouldn't be looking lovingly back at the world and or longingly at the world and thinking, "Oh, those were the days." Well, see, that's the way the Israelites were when they came out of Egypt. They looked back at Egypt. They thought, "Oh, those days of slavery were wonderful. At least we were fed." You know, they were complaining. One of the big things, and you can read it in the book of Exodus, for example, they were complaining constantly about Moses and the leadership, and things were better back then, and all types of things. To look back longingly was a very sinful thing, and it angered the Lord, it angered Moses. You can read about it yourself. But notice, it says here, "Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Verse 18. "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." So to be reconciled means you're no longer an enemy of God. You're now joined with the Lord through the Lord Jesus Christ. You're no longer separated by sin. You're now able to come into His presence because you're cleansed by the blood of Christ. Very important for us to see that. Verse 19, "To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." So we have the word of reconciliation. We have the word of God, which shows people the right way. Praise God. Verse 20, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." Praise the Lord. The righteousness of God in Him. We've been made the righteousness of God in Christ. We've been changed on the inside. We've been new creatures. Been made new creatures in Christ. So to live is Christ for us. And now we're His ambassadors. Now we're His witnesses. We go out and we proclaim what He wants people to know. That word of reconciliation says, you need Christ. You need to be forgiven. You need to be changed on the inside. You don't live for yourself anymore, but you live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Let's finish in prayer and open ourselves up unto God. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You, thank You, and praise You. We are greatly appreciative of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. He died for us, he rose again for us. And Father, I pray that all of us would have such open hearts as to what the will of God is for our lives personally. That we don't be people that are resistant to your will, but that are people that are open with open hearts, Lord, to hear from you, to acknowledge you, and to want to go your way constantly. Father, we decide, we make that decision to go forward, not backwards, not to look longingly back at what we might have had, but to look forward, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Help us in that, Lord. We thank you for your strength, that we can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth us. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Glory. Shelingarun glespish koromalilan stish perianundo koromasala. The wisdom of God is through his word, and the wisdom of God is for his people, so they might walk in his ways, in truth. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you. Bless God. The Lord says also, don't just stay in one position. Don't just stay in one position. You may have done something for a long time, but don't stay in that one position. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. We thank you, Father, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God.